God, pour out your grace, your love, your mercy. Fill this place with the goodness that is you. And then send us out to be your people. Amen. Last week, we had the wonderful opportunity to hear our new general minister and president, Reverend Terry Hood Owens, preach. We watched the video of her first sermon as our general minister and president. It was the last night of the General Assembly. If you didn't get to hear it, the video is available online. If you are interested and want me to show you how to get there, let me know. Reverend Owens talked about the important need for the church, really just to be the church. As disciples, one of the hallmarks of who we strive to be are to be people who are one. And she calls us out to practice our oneness, not only within the walls of the church, but that too, even though that is very hard to do, but also outside these walls with other Christians, again, something that is hard to do. But not only to live as one with other Christians, but live as one with all people, whoever they are, whatever they might believe, wherever they might come from, regardless of their diversity. In fact, one of the great marks of our oneness, she said, is indeed our diversity. Reverend Owen said that the world needs the church. The world needs the church in order to show the world what God's love looks like, how God's love is lived out in the flesh.
This whole technology thing just... I don't know what I was talking about.
The world needs the church. The world needs to see in the flesh what God's radical, welcoming, universal love is all about. And it's up to us as church to show them that. She talked about how this would not only be her responsibility. She used the image of running, of carrying a baton, and that she needs to carry that baton, but also to pass that baton along to all of us, that we too run the race of God's love for all the world to see. And then she lifted up a saying. I don't know if it was familiar to you. I've heard it, read it many, many times. It's a disciple favorite. It says that it's hanging as banners in her church where she's been working at it. And the banner says this: in essentials, unity; in non-essentials, liberty; in all things, love. Now that sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Sounds pretty cut and dried, but we know that it's a whole lot easier to say that than to do it. Well, this past week, remembering that quote, in essentials, unity; in non-essentials, liberty; in all things, love. I poked around on the internet trying to find out who actually said that the first time. And I found one article, and the fellow in the article said that many people attribute that quote to St. Augustine, the great Catholic theologian of the early times of the church. And that's actually who I thought had first said it. But no, Augustine never said it. And then this article lifted up somebody else, a man named Peter Mitterlin, who was a German Lutheran theologian of the 16th century, that he was the first person to say that. You know, a good Protestant said it, and no, this guy never said it. And then this article talked about the person who actually first coined the phrase, in essentials, unity; in non-essentials, liberty; in all things, love. It was a man named Marco Antonio de Dominis, an Italian theologian of the 16th century. Now, the reason why I share all of this is because of what I read about this Dominus. Well, he was raised and educated Catholic in Italy, but as he grew up and later on in his writings, he began to be convinced that the whole papal system was corrupt. Well, of course, that got him into trouble with the Catholic leadership and the Catholic Church. So he fled Rome, where he was living, where the Catholic Church was most present. He fled Rome and went to England, where the Church of England was, to avoid persecution. Well, he'd lived in England for a while, and it seems that he lost favor with the English church because of what the article says this, because of his vanity, avarice, and irascibility. Well, he left England because he wore out his welcome, so he went back to Rome. And now he began to attack the English church, just like he had been attacking the Roman Catholic church. And said, and actually what he did, he went back and he took back all the bad things he had said about the Catholic Church and the Pope. And actually he said that he had lied about that all along. Well, that got him back into good graces with the Pope. And the Pope actually put him on a pension so that he could live and write, you know, he wouldn't have to do other work. Well, that Pope died. And when that Pope died, the next Pope cut off this fellow's, Dominus's, pension. Well, pretty soon, Dominus started attacking the Catholic Church once again, as corrupt, as an instrument of evil. Now, all of this is coming from the man who coined the phrase, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, love. Oh, and this, he was charged as a heretic, once again, by the Catholic Church, and he was placed under like house arrest. Well, before the trial, his heresy trial could take place, he died. But they went on and had the trial, and it was shown that sure enough, Dominus was a heretic, so the Roman authorities had this fella dug up, dragged through the streets of Rome, and then publicly burned. All from the fella who coined the phrase, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, love. A great example of how that's easier to say than to do. This summer in my sermons in Romans, one of the themes that keeps coming up as I read it is Paul recognizes who he is called to be as Christians, that he's no longer a slave to sin, but he's a slave to God. And he's called to live in the way of Christ as a person who has been baptized into Christ and raised into Christ in new life. He's called to live in the way of God's love, loving God and loving others. But he also recognizes that he just doesn't do that. The good that he wants to do, he doesn't do. And he doesn't do it because it is so hard. When Jesus says things like, if you want to follow me, you deny yourself and take up a cross and follow, that's not an easy word. Paul recognizes that, and he knows that he struggles. He may have been freed from sin, but sin still lurks all around. Now we know what he's talking about because we know how hard it can be to live as a person who follows in the way of Christ, of living and loving as Christ loved and calls us to love, calling us to be people who give of ourselves when we don't want to give of ourselves. We know how hard that is. And I must say that if you think it's always easy to follow Christ, I would encourage you to take up your Bible and maybe turn to Matthew 5 and start there with the Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about things about blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek. Don't hate your enemies, love your enemies. Don't worry about your stuff, focus on the kingdom of God. Start there, then see how easy it is. Now, I'm not saying that the way of Christ isn't the way to live. The way of Christ is full of joy and grace and wonder, but it's not always easy. Paul knew that. We know that. And finally, we get to our text for today. Paul says that we are living in our weakness. And I think when Paul talks about weakness, he's talking about his inability to live the way he wants to live, to love the way that he knows he's called to live. And he says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we don't know how to be, the Spirit lifts us up. For we don't know how to pray or what to pray. But that very Spirit intercedes for us. When we don't know the way to go, we pray to God and God shows us the way. God who searches the heart, He knows what the mind of the Spirit is because the Spirit intercedes for us. God is with us. God leads us, especially in the hard path of following in the way of Christ. Then we get to the verse that's very well known. We know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. Now, unfortunately, I think that verse has been misused more than it's been used in a good way. It's been used to say that all the hard things, the horrible things that come in life come from God. That God brings those into His life. The reason why you have cancer is because God brought it upon you. Now you can do good with it. God knew you can handle it. And I don't believe that God wills the horrible things of life. But I do believe that when the horrible things of life come, God goes with us through those things, working for God's good to bring about God's good. And not just in the bad and the hard, but also in learning how to love others as God loves us. I think what Paul is trying to say here is that God goes with us and God's leading is with us even when we don't know the way to go. And then we get to some of my favorite verses in Scripture. It's all based around questions that Paul lifts up. All of them are assumed to have the yes answer to them. And these verses, I try as many times as I can to have these verses read or read them myself at funeral services, especially at the graveside, when a family is suffering and hurting and seeing the finality of their loved one being with them. What can we say about these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? If God is with us and God has done all that God has done, who can be against us? Who's to condemn us? It's Christ Jesus who died and who was raised, who's at the right hand of God. It is that Christ who intercedes for us, showing us the way. And here's the part that I love the most that I read at funerals. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? None of those things will separate us from God's love. Then there's a verse in here that I don't read at funerals because it's not in that context, but I read it here. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. That's a quote from Psalm 44. It's a reminder that we as God's children, as the sheep and God is our shepherd, we are called to live as sheep, and that might get us in trouble in life. It might even get us slaughtered. No. In all of these things, we're more than conquerors. We have victory beyond measure is a literal way of saying it. Through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or rulers of this earth, not things present, not things to come, not height or depth or anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I had to pick scripture verses to be read to remind me of why I do what I do and why I have decided to follow Jesus in the first place, it is that. Convinced, persuaded, I know that nothing will separate me. Not life, not death, thanks be to God, Not angels, not rulers, nothing going on right now, nothing that will go on in the future. Nothing, nothing, nothing in all of creation will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the good news. That is the best news. It's the news that we need to hear every single day of life, in all the times of our lives, as we seek to live in the way of Christ, loving God and loving others as God loves us, in all things, love. And we can only do that if we remember that God loves us, period. And remembering, too, that God has this whole world in His hands. Remember that song? Maybe you remember another person. Her name's Mahalia Jackson. Mahalia Jackson was an African-American gospel singer. She passed away in 1972. But she was famous not just for her singing, but for also she was one of the leaders in the civil rights movement in the 1950s and 60s. Now, the thing I remember most about Mahalia Jackson, I read this, is that in 1968, when a man named Martin Luther King was standing at the Lincoln Monument, speaking at the March on Washington, he was preaching and he was reading from his script, and it was good, but it wasn't as good as it could have been. And it said that Mahalia Jackson, who was sitting behind Martin Luther King, said, "Tell him about the dream, Martin." And Martin did. He told him about a dream that day. Well, this morning, Mahalia Jackson is going to lead us in a song. Now, I know we don't like doing this, but I want to invite you to stand, if you're able, and sing with us. Please stand.
Do you children know this song?
What song?
He's got the whole world in his hand.
Yes.
Will you help me to sing it?
Yes, Mrs. Jackson.
Oh. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole wide world in his hand. He's got the whole 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 wide world in his hand. He's got you and I, brother, in his hand. He's got you and I, sister, in his hand. He's got you and I, brother, in his hand. He's got the whole wide world in his hand. He's got the whole 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 wide world in his hand. He's got the little bit of baby in his hand. He's got the little bit of baby in his hand. He's got the little bit of baby in his hand. He's got the whole wide world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole wide world in his hand. He's got the whole 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 wide world in his
be seated. What What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Can hardship? No. Distress? No. Can life? No. Death? No. Can anything going on right now? No. Can anything that's going to happen separate us from God's love?
No.
There you go. Can anybody or anything separate us from God's love?
No.
Amen. Thanks be to God. Now let us